Household number 17 of 39. Consecration required. Paul had a clear sense of the demands of truth upon mortals, physically and spiritually, when he said, "Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." But he who is begotten of the beliefs of the flesh and serves them can never reach in this world the divine heights of our Lord. The time cometh when the spiritual origin of man, the divine science which ushered Jesus into human presence, will be understood and demonstrated. In the following paragraph, which is extra, but goes with this in theme. When first spoken in any age, truth, like the light, shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. A false sense of life, substance, and mind hides the divine possibilities and conceals scientific demonstration. The 1828 definition of consecration includes the following. Consecration, devoted to God or to divine service. This is John Sinton's scientific translation. The ultimate reality to be attained and demonstrated demands complete self-immolation, the willingness to yield with joy the mortal concept for the immortal. This is the true consecration that is required. Observe the prophetic nature of the text at this point. The time cometh when the spiritual origin of man will be understood and demonstrated. Observe also, when first spoken in any age, truth, like the light, is not readily received unless accompanied by demonstration. Going back to the beginning, where it says, Paul had a clear sense of the demands of truth upon mortals physically and spiritually, when he said, "Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." It seems that what he is saying is that there's no room for hypocrisy. One cannot try to demonstrate spiritually on a mental level unless it is followed up with human activities. One can't just say, love your neighbor as yourself, but that must be lived. Or the commandment that says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Jesus stated that thinking about an evil is evil. So it's not just what one does with bodily actions, but what one is thinking about. A common phrase is to do something both body and soul, even though the individual that says that may not understand the real meaning of soul as professed in Christian Science to mean spiritual senses, but still it's very important to realize that one must do it, whatever they're going to do and believe and want to demonstrate, must be done both mentally and physically. One can't, for example, attend a meeting or a church service one day, and then as soon as they get out of the service or the meeting, then they proceed along the lines which are in contrary to what was intended to be practiced or what one learned from the spiritual uplift, if that came about. if one is successful in thinking about something in a state of pureness, then one must strive to overcome or ascend from even having the temptation presented to them. Another important action is to not only not think about evil and not do evil, but don't even give the presence of a possibility that you are involved in evil. In other words, don't do something that may appear to be evil, even though it is not. The appearance, the presentation, has to be in line with a pure thought and a pure action, without any possibility of misinterpretation by an onlooker. If one is tempted to look upon something promiscuous, one must turn away, block out the vision. We're either going to do as Paul suggests and present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, or we're not. This could apply to any activity whatsoever. For example, if one were cleaning up a woods with dead trees laying around and cutting them all up for firewood, raking the area, or whatever activity one is involved in, one needs to be aware of the 7 days of creation. Mind, of course, represents intelligence, wisdom, and knowing, as well as power. Power is a measurement of performance. Mary Baker Eddy states that the only power obtainable is the good we do and embody. In order to have good performance, we need to make sure that the creativeness of mind is coupled with the intelligence, wisdom, and knowing of mind, which is the branch of mind that is termed omniscience, and that that is coupled with action, and that is applied to become performance. The performance then is measured, and that is termed power. So, no matter what activity one is involved in, they need to be thinking about, is this the intelligent way to do it? Is this a wise way to do it? Do I know what I'm doing? Am I thinking about the power of God or what is in my own arm as muscle? What kind of action am I doing with every movement of my hand or arm or legs, my whole body? Am I being wasteful in the way I'm moving about doing this activity? There's a principle in everything involved, so one needs to think about, is this the real principle of this activity or event? Am I following an intelligent procedure? Mr. Sinton brings out the idea that not only must there be self-immolation, which is purity, but the willingness to yield with joy the mortal concept for the immortal. Now, how are we going to do that? It seems that this may center around one experiencing enough unsuccessful activities, that there is no other place to go humanly, and therefore one is willing to yield to a higher power than what is sitting on the top of one's shoulders. The belief that there is life, truth, and intelligence in a brain, and that the brain can solve any problem. Scientists of the physical nature, which have done research on the brain, claim that it is capable of more than one of the best computers that's ever been developed. But even that is not a match for the dance of mortal mind, because the dance of mortal mind is not consistent and therefore ends up in total failure once it is exposed for what it is, which is something without a proper foundation. It has no spiritual nature. It is not of the substance of spirit. And therefore, it is doomed to failure. The operation of mortal mind is such that it gives hope, and one proceeds on that false sense of hope, and then eventually there's failure. So one needs to apparently get to the point with any activity or event they're involved in where they realize that there is no solution that is going to be perfect. And therefore, they say, I give up. I yield to you, dear Father, Mother, God. I'm listening for your instructions on what I should be doing about this. And then we're to the point that Mr. Sinton states that we have the willingness to yield with joy the mortal concept for the immortal, which he states that this is the true consecration. And again, Noah Webster states consecration to be devoted to God or to divine service. So in other words, it's looking to the one and only incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, immortal mind, pure and perfect spiritual mind, a mind of spirit, not so-called matter. It is not possible to be devoted to God or to divine service, which again is the definition of consecration, which Mary Baker Eddy states is required, unless we exchange the mortal concept of mind for the real immortal reality, the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind that is immortal, and reject totally the idea, which is really a total falsity. So it's not an idea, because ideas come from God. So the thought needs to be rejected totally that mind is mortal, because mind is immortal, and therefore a so-called mortal mind cannot even exist. Brain is not material, because man is spiritual. Every capacity, every functionality, facility, faculty, is from divine, incorporeal, supreme, and infinite mind. Nothing from a human so-called brain. Whatever comes from what is believed to be a brain, if it is absolutely perfect and true, unchangeable and fixed, then it is not from a brain at all. It means that there has been a leap from a human concept to the divine. The best scientists of the physical world have been ones that have put aside preconceived ideas and are open to wherever the truth leads them. In other words, to be a real discoverer of truth, one has to start with no preconceived notions. There can't be any preconceived notions, any preconceived thoughts, if one wants to discover truth. In other words, one needs to be doing, as Mr. Sinton says, being willing to yield with joy the mortal concept for the immortal. And again, he states, this is the true consecration that is required. And this is very important, where he adds, when first spoken in any age, truth, like the light, is not readily received unless accompanied by demonstration. And I think that could even be more refined by saying that it is never readily received unless it is a spiritual receptive thought. It can't be a human brain that one is trying to force to accept something, because humanity does not accept truth. Divinity is truth. So one has to get out of the thought of a human sense of thought and get into the divine reality, into the realm of the unlimited, into the realm of the unknown to a human thought pattern. It's not unknown, but it's unknown to a human experience. It has to be a divine experience. It has to be one which John Sinton states, willing to yield with joy the mortal concept for the immortal. Mary Baker Eddy states that that's one of the benefits of having a problem. It may drive the person to total exhaustion in terms of depending upon matter for a solution or mortal mind. Until one is to the point where they say, I give up. I give up. An individual that was extremely successful, accomplishing a lot of wonderful things, was asked, how did you accomplish so much? And they indicated that there was one day where they bent down lower and lower and lower to the ground until they were finally non-existent in their own thinking. They didn't as an individual exist. Their entire sense of personality was gone. And that's when they realized that it was nothing to begin with. they then turned completely to God as their guide, their director, their commander, their infinite resource. When that is done, the fact that nothing is impossible to God opened up to them, where they were experiencing things that could not have been experienced previously. Because they were working from a spiritual concept. They were working from the sanctuary of spirit. They were out of the worldly realm of thinking, and they were into the spiritual realm. And that could only happen when they recognized that the material process didn't work. The material atmosphere, depending on life, truth, and intelligence, the being in matter or mortal mind, did not work. They had to come to that recognition that it did not work. It was a failure. Up and down, in and out, around, and getting nowhere. And this last sentence by John Sinton says, when first spoken in any age, truth, like the light, is not readily received unless accompanied by demonstration. That is true for ourselves. We have to be continually working out our own salvation. We have to be demonstrating bit by bit, little by little, one step at a time, no matter how small it is. We have to turn to the divine to do it right, to think about it rightly, and therefore experiencing it from a standpoint of truth and love, not matter, mortal mind. Love is the plan and design, the divine plan and design. And principle is the divine system and structure. Mind is the divine intelligence, wisdom, and knowing. The divine power. In fact, the divine all power. Mind is the divine action, for it requires divine power to have divine action. It requires power to have any action. And since God is infinite omnipotence, there can be no other power. Therefore, the only real action is the action from God, omnipotent mind. So if it's not from the one and only infinite divine mind, then it is a falsity, it is a fake, it is a mirage, it is not reality. And therefore it must be recognized as nothing. It must be seen as nothing without any power or presence. And that's about anything at all that is less than 100% godlike. If it's less than 100% godlike, it is unreal, without foundation or basis. We must automatically reject it because it is not sourced from infinite, divine, incorporeal, supreme mind. and therefore it cannot be real. It cannot be real to us or to anyone else. God is all in all the only intelligence, knowing, wisdom, power, action, the only presence, the only science, and therefore that is exactly what I unequivocally let be my guide and my governor, my whole existence is a reflection of the one and only incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And there is nothing else except God. God is all in all. All source, which includes its manifestation. And that includes all existence. Amen.